Hey, welcome to the Cam and Otis Show. In this episode, Cam and I dive into the Great Resignation. Yes, one of my favorite media labels for something that is claimed a crisis, but may not be unless it's affected you and your staff. The reason we dive into it is we give you the answers in the way that you can prevent your team from being part of the Great Resignation. So I hope you have fun. Hope you learn a lot from us. We really enjoy just hanging out together in our post-Christmas show and talking about the Great Resignation. And speaking of post-Christmas, it's New Year's. It's time to kick it off. That's what our culture says, and that's what it's all about. It's an opportunity to reshift your focus. So if you thought 2020 was, it was okay. 2021 was a little bit better. But you want 22 to really kick some butt, then go to tribe-purpose.com, sign up for Monday Moments newsletter, and book a quick call with Camden or I so we can see whether or not we can help you get more focus and clarity to have more success in 2022. Now, here's Cam and Otis with the show.
It's a long way.
Hey, welcome to the Cam and Otis Show. Man, end of year, fun stuff, holidays, chaos of movement and hanging out with family and friends that you don't get to hang out with in person. That's why Camden's here again.
Yes, sir.
Two shows in a row. That doesn't happen very often. And, you know, as we were closing out the year, the thing that kept popping into my feed into my head is the Great Resignation. Now, thank you very much, United States media world, for telling us there's yet another crisis upon us. And it's the fact that everybody's resigning from their jobs. Well, you know why people resign from their jobs? It's because they're not happy.
Mm-hmm.
I was gonna throw in the whole retirement thing, but you know, why do people retire? Because they're not happy. Mm-hmm. They're not happy with what they're doing, whether it's a season in life change or something else, you know, pay, the job match, whatever. People resign. They quit their job. Resign is just the fancy way of saying quit. It makes you feel like you're not a quitter if you resign, right? But people do that because they're not happy. So, Camden, what's going on from your point of view, from you young whippersnappers side view of why is everybody quitting their job?
Well, you know, I think that we addressed the underlying aspect of this when we first started talking about the pandemic. And I think you and I just attributed the wrong outcome towards it. One of the things we talked a lot about was how people were not going to want to commute anymore, how people wanted jobs where they're not only happy, but they have a sense of purpose. And they're also getting paid enough that they're feeling comfortable there. And then you and I, when we had that first conversation, you know, a year and a half ago, when the pandemic first started, we, being entrepreneurs, took it the entrepreneurial route where we said people would want to start their own businesses. They, you know, do it. We could see a lot more entrepreneurship out of it, which is true. That is something that we've seen a lot of. But those underlying factors that we said would drive people toward entrepreneurship are also just driving people away from a lot of traditional jobs. And I think one of the underlying aspects there really comes down to it's a perspective change, that a lot of us have had a great shift in our perspective over the last 2 years. And for a lot of young people, in my age, in my demographic.
Young whippersnappers, I think was the term, proper term.
Yes, the proper terminology of whippersnappers. For a lot of us young whippersnappers, this change in perspective, we also don't have that much to measure it against.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for a lot of people, you know, it's kind of, you revert back to the normal. For a lot of people, they're kind of reverting back to, you know, old habits and those type of things. A lot of people in my, you know, us young whippersnapper demographic, don't have as much to go back to. There's not this strong foundation of doing these things for years and having this confidence that you can go back to that and that you'll have a future there and that you have a sense of purpose with that. And then you add in a whole bunch of other psychological things that I think we have generally a lack of purpose in my generation, and a lack of understanding of your purpose, and a lot of a lack of vision. Because, you know, you get into not even getting into the loan aspect of it, just the college crisis, I would call it, of people going getting degrees thinking they could get the job, and then that job doesn't exist. You know, I had somebody, oh, shoot, who was it? A friend of mine complaining. What was his major? He was like a chemical engineer or something. He's like, gosh, yeah, there's no more of these jobs anymore. It's like, wow, you're looking like a lot of us who didn't have the jobs in these different fields. You know, it's really, really become common because it's, you know, a oversupply of labor in a lot of those areas. And so with that, then you're not able to find the thing that you want. You're not able to get that career that everyone wants when they're 23 and just go live that career for the next 30 years and then retire nice and early and be happy. That's all realistically not going to happen for the majority of people right now. And so then I think you have what I would call not career hopping, because not a career, but just job hopping, I think is a common thing that you're seeing a lot of now, to where it's people who are just looking to keep the lights on. You know, we've talked about it before, the people who their sense of purpose is not tied within the company. And because of that, there's nothing really tying them there except for the incentive of payment. And that incentive of payment is pretty flexible to any different place you could go. And so I think that kind of paints a little bit, at least from the young whippersnappers. I know that it's not just who are just my generation who's resigning a lot right now. It's happening in every generation. But then I think the interesting thing there is then we move on from, okay, here's the problem. Here's some of the underlying aspects. Well, then now, Dad, how do you fix it? What can you do as a leader to help to fight this?
Well, there's a couple of things. One, I always laugh at this when my generation points the finger at your generation, Generation
so
Z.
So productive, isn't it?
Z or Y. Instead, it's like, you know why that generation grew up getting, you know, everybody's a winner in their sports games and all that stuff? Because my generation created that.
A bunch of y'all were really upset that you weren't winners.
That's right. We were very disappointed that our children were a bunch of dadgum losers. So we wanted everybody to feel good about themselves. And that feel-good nature has created the environment, the culture now where everybody believes that their purpose should provide a paycheck. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's not always true. It's not always possible either. You know, you can bust your butt 9 to 5, do the Dolly Parton way, working 9 to 5, and then use the rest of your life, the rest of your time to fulfill your purpose. Mm-hmm. There's a whole lot of, I'm not going to do public math here, but 9 to 5 in that 40-hour work week, really it's 8 to 5, people. There's no such thing as 9 to 5. 8 to 5, 40-hour work week. That leaves a lot more time afterwards. Last time I did some math on that. So how do you fix it? How do you stop the great resignation? How do you wield the tide, you know, put a finger in the dike sort of thing? Well, first off, you got to ask people, mm-hmm. why are they leaving? Do an exit interview. I mean, that's the simple step to figure out, well, why is that person leaving? Well, I want more money. Or I just don't feel fulfilled. Oh, well, why don't you feel fulfilled? I mean, you can play the touchy-feely game. I don't feel fulfilled. Well, guess what? If somebody's not feeling fulfilled, then they are not being recognized mm-hmm. for the effort that they are doing in the success of your organization, the success of your business. You know, it's a Maslow hierarchy of needs. Yes, it is not about putting a roof over your head or food on the table, you know, or that the, what is the third one? The third one is has to do with feeling safe and secure. But it's that next one up, fourth or fifth one, I think it's the fifth one, where you need to have a feeling of significance. Yeah, I think it is the fifth one, because the fourth one has to do with love, connection.
Yeah.
Love and connection. So that fifth one is that feeling of significance. Mm-hmm. In what is what I'm doing value added to somebody else? Mm-hmm. And if you have people on your team that, and we've talked about this in some other platforms, just on our social media, mm-hmm. if you're not being gracious and telling somebody, hey, good job. I mean, I tell you what, I grew up in the era of just do your damn job. Do your job. Who was that coach? The NFL coach who said that. one of those great great post-game interviews.
Just do your job.
Just do your job. And just, I think it was Denny Green. I want to say it was Denny Green because he was classic for those post-game interviews. But if you think about it, just doing your job and never getting recognition for it, and it doesn't take a lot. We're not talking about, you know, getting that big bonus check at the end of the year or anything like that. It's just, hey, tell your team, hey, great job. Great work.
You never run out of good jobs. That's the thing. You can always do that as a leader.
And how much does that cost you there, boss? It doesn't cost you nothing. Mm-hmm. And you know how much it costs you when your team leaves? At least double what you're paying.
Well,
think about that. Do the math there.
I mean, talking about do your job, I think that there's a little bit of a gap in what you're saying and, you know, the context, the connotation of what those words mean. So you're talking about inside of a sports environment, inside a football team or rugby team, we can switch it over a little bit for us. When you say do your job, it's not just do your job because that's all you're supposed to do. And, you know, just shut up and just to go do your job. What they're talking about, a good coach, at least, is saying do your job because your job interlocks with the other people on that field, mm-hmm. the other people inside your organization. And when you focus on just doing your job rather than stressing out about all those moving pieces, they can go do their job. You're enabling everyone to go do their own job. And then that all contributes to your team's purpose. But I think one of the, you know, going into the remedies of this is that's one big aspect of it is having that transparency around your company's vision, your team's vision, and then communicating that in a way that the team members can buy into it. I don't need to go through the bricklayers parable because I probably went through it at least four times on this podcast already. So if you don't know the bricklayers parable, Google it or go listen to a bunch of old episodes till you find me talking about it. But one of the key aspects of the bricklayers parable, to me at least, is if there's a boss there of those three bricklayers and he or she had the ability to sit them down and talk about their company vision, talk about the church they were building, the house of God that they were building, if you want to be that third bricklayer, then that first bricklayer who's just showing up for the paycheck, you can move him up to that second bricklayer position, that third bricklayer position, to where they have that view of their own purpose inside of this structure. And so really, and I know this is almost cheesy, it comes back to communication in a lot of ways, of you just being able to effectively communicate your vision for the company down to every single level. You know, we used the janitor example before, mm-hmm. the janitor in the hospital who is still saving lives. And frankly, y'all, if you don't believe me on this, go to any startup in the world and go ask them how much they're making and go talk to them about the hours they're putting in, because it's not transactional in those businesses. I've worked in a few of them and you are working ridiculous hours for ridiculous pay in the opposite direction.
And well, it's not just that, it's the military too.
Yeah.
I mean, the military, you know, we would joke about it. If you did the math, you know, especially when we're talking about you're deployed or whatever, and you're working 16, 18 hour days for 6 months or more at a time, do the math on how many, what you're getting paid per hour on that one.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And so I think it's understanding that. And the lesson there isn't that you don't need to pay people. It's that, what's the stat? And, you know, I'll just paraphrase it because there's no reason to start being super accurate with these now. We'd like to paraphrase our statistics. But there's studies around if your company has that vision, that purpose, you know, really easy example is a lot of companies right now, you know, green companies who are fighting for sustainability, very popular in my generation.
Social enterprises,
another mm-hmm. example that when you have those, it's like a 20% increase in pay is the equivalent that if you were getting paid, oh gosh, I'm not going to do that math. But anyway, the point being that when you're, team has a vision of what they're working towards, it's the equivalent of giving them a 20% raise. And so it's all possible. And it really just comes down to you taking the time as a leader to understand your own vision all the way down to the core level so that each individual, you can see how they align inside your company's vision, inside your own personal vision as well. And then you're communicating with them to understand where they want to be inside their organization. And when you get all those pieces moving, then you're going to keep people around because they're going to trust you because you're transparent. They're going to see that they have a sense of significance, a sense of purpose inside the organization because they see how they're contributing towards it. They understand the mission, the values of all that different stuff inside your organization. And they're going to be a lot happier because of that. And if they're happier, just like we said at the beginning of the episode, they're not going to leave.
And that goes back to something that one of your favorite things is intrinsic versus extrinsic motivations, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you are motivated by the dollar, that's an extrinsic and you will never be fulfilled. Mm-hmm. If you have an intrinsic motivation of, man, I am doing something that is worthwhile. And you know what? People around me are grateful for it. That is a huge value that you can bring. And that is as a leader, that's how you set the tone. If your team is motivated, if everybody on your team is intrinsically motivated, it goes right into that formula Candon was just talking about, the 20% differentiator, because they are there. Yeah, they appreciate the paycheck and they're doing it because they want a paycheck, because, you know, we like to get paid for, you know, what we do, who we are and how we contribute. But it's also about having that feeling of fulfillment, you know, that what is my purpose? What do I do? How do I do it? And does anybody value what I do? Mm-hmm. And that goes back to what we were talking about earlier in that hierarchy of needs and that feeling of significance. Do I feel what I do is significant to somebody?
Mm-hmm. And that goes back to the leader being able to communicate that. You know, it's celebrating your people. You know, that was our theme for November. We talked about a bunch on the podcast and on Tribe and Purpose social media about celebrating. And it's not just celebrating for yourself. You want to make sure you're celebrating other people too. Because also it's just like gratitude. It's that weird magic thing that, you know, people talk about, you know, the life hacks and all that kind of stuff. Gratitude, being gracious and celebrating people is like the biggest life hack there is, because you're just constantly spreading that positivity through your team. And when you do that as a leader, you're creating a culture around that to where the rest of the team will do it as well. And you're all going to be patting each other on the back, and it's going to be a lot nicer a place to work, definitely.
Yeah. And it all boils down to leadership, the culture. You mentioned values, the alignment of the values of the organization with the individual. And you know what? If your values ain't written down, if your vision isn't written down, if you haven't explained it to your team, if you haven't sold your team on your vision, on what's going to happen, where you're going to go, then they're not going to have the ability to buy in, and they're just showing up and doing the work. Mm-hmm. They don't see it as a means to succeed. They don't see it any value in it. So take this time to, as a reminder, I'll use my old army term of foot stomping, as a foot stomper, that, you know what, if you don't have a vision, if you don't have vision written down, if you don't have the values captured for your organization to set the standards for how people perform, how they make decisions, what they do and how they contribute, and then you're not thanking them for their job, for what they do. Yeah, you give them a paycheck, but there needs to be more than that. Mm-hmm. Well, do those things.
Can I add on real quick on that? When you as a leader, they'll only thank them through the paycheck, even if it's bonuses, mm-hmm. you're playing into that extrinsic motivation rather than the intrinsic. That paycheck should almost be insignificant. It's like, you're getting that paycheck and it's like, yeah, no, I get to keep the lights on. I can pay my rent this month. Okay, cool. I'm just going back to work because that's what I'm there for. And that comes down to you as a leader. So I think that's one of those little lessons right there, that you have to be really careful as a leader about how you use those different types of motivations. Because if you just use cash, they're going to be extrinsically motivated. And as soon as that cash runs out, they're gone.
Yeah. So what'd you learn, Cam?
All right. This is a little cheesy. You know, we always talk life imitates rugby, rugby imitates life, of course. But we had always joke, especially back in high school rugby with the Grizzlies here in Colorado Springs, that communication was the answer to every single question. The more we talk through these business problems and the more we look at, you know, leadership issues and all this stuff, it all just comes back to communication. It is mind blowing sometimes how many problems could just get solved by sitting down, having an honest conversation, conveying the way that you view a situation, conveying your emotions of a situation without even getting all touchy feely on stuff. How much having a conversation does so much for your team. And because again, big picture wise, when you as a leader start having those conversations, you create a culture around communication, and then it's going to be happening on every level of your organization.
No, that's spot on. I love that. And you know, for me, you mentioned the 20%, and I'd heard that in a passing thing, but it's so true. Now, business is about profit, y'all. Mm-hmm. And if you ain't aware of that, you might want to check your P&L. If you don't know what P&L is, I'll give you a little hint: profit and loss. But if you're not tracking that stuff, and you don't understand that it costs you to pay people to keep them around, and if they're just there to collect a paycheck, man, good luck keeping them around, because somebody offers them a 50 cent an hour raise, guess what they're going to do? Mm-hmm. They're going to jump.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, every time, because then that's all they care about, because they feel no contribution to the organization. And I'm talking to you, Walmart, Home Depot, all the big box stores. It all works. It works no matter whether you're a mom and pop welding shop or a big box store. If the people that are there are only there to collect a paycheck, they will leave as soon as somebody offers them a couple of nickels more. Mm-hmm. So keep that in mind in building what your team is, how you keep people, how you keep quality people, how you find quality people. It all boils down to what's your vision, what's the values of the organization, what's the purpose of the organization, and how do they fit into it? And then thanking them for fitting in.
You know, I want to add on to that. It's something where the way I like to look at it in my businesses that I've had and as a leader is you should pay them as best you can. And you want them, you know, it's like you want them to be, gosh, if I could pay all my employees millions of dollars, that would be amazing. I would be so happy for them to be able to give them that money. But then when you're thinking about why they're taking the job, don't talk about money. Never, ever talk about the money. It's in your own internal notes when you're talking with the employee. That should be the last thing, because everything else should be good enough for them. And then on the fact, then you add on top of it, it's like we talk about coaching rugby. Ooh, I could get paid for this. Gosh, I'm going to coach rugby anyway, but you guys are going to pay me. I'm always going to coach you. And so it's really that simple. Just a little bit of a mental exercise for y'all if you're going through this hiring process right now. Yeah, they give them a nice paycheck. They should have a nice paycheck. They're doing good work for you. But don't sell them on the paycheck. Sell them on everything else. And that's just a little, you know, mental exercise I think could do a lot of good.
And I'll just put a pitch in for us. We don't do this very often on the podcast. Mm-hmm. But you know what? If you're struggling to figure out how to communicate that, how to create your vision for your business, how to create what would keep your team around and what would help build their intrinsic value, their intrinsic motivation, then give us a shout at tribe-purpose.com. Yeah, we'd love to talk with you and help you out on that. Beginning of the year, it's a great time to kick that thought process off and that methodology off, because everybody says they don't have time. Guess what? If you don't have time to build that purpose, to write it out, to create the vision, to create a plan to accomplish the vision, then you know what's going to happen? You're going to be chasing your tail all day long, hiring new people. So what do you want to spend time on? Creating a vision or sitting in interviews and working on job posts? Mm-hmm. Don't let the great resignation be your excuse for failure. Camden, run us out.
All right. Thank you all for listening to today's episode. And a special thanks to our sponsor, Tribe and Purpose. Find your tribe, find your purpose. Get started today at findyourpurpose.coach. And ooh, gosh, dang, I really That's lost my stride on that. It's two in a row. I got to bring my notes with me next time. Well, you can check out recent episodes of the Cam and Oda Show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. And you can check out a full archive at thecamandodashow.buzzsprout.com. The Cam and Oda Show is on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thanks again, and we'll see y'all next week.
And I was just going to tell you what a good job you do at walking those out, Camden, to tell you how grateful I am. And now I'm not. Happy New Year, everybody.